Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL, right to UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code, that's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, buddy?
What's up, my brother? How you doing? How's everything going with you?
Can't complain. Another day, you know. Some interesting news. I don't know if you saw Shannon Sharp. He bought out of Undisputed. He's not going to be on the show after the NBA Finals. It will be his last time with Skip.
Really?
Yeah. Just happened like 2 hours ago.
Did it? Okay. Well, okay. Jeez.
Yeah.
Well. That is news.
Yeah.
That is news. So yeah, man. I didn't know that. But you kind of, you know, Shannon and Skip, you could tell it was just kind of running this course. You know, I used to watch it kind of, you know, back then, obviously during, you know, the season, you know, because of them going back and forth and the controversy. You know, Shannon always had some good things. You know, Skip was, you know, Skip, you know, what he gave and what he did. But yeah, man, it just, I don't know. Yeah, I've seen a lot more like Shannon kind of doing his, what is that he has?
His podcast.
His podcast, but what's it called?
Club Shay Shay.
Club Shay Show. He does the Club Shay Shay, and I've seen that. So I know he's been putting a little bit more time for that.
Mm.
So maybe he enjoys getting out of the whole like corporate setting with those guys and, you know, not dealing with Fox, right?
Yeah, FS1? Fox. Yeah,
yes. That's one. Yeah, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just like, shoot, maybe I could go ahead and do it on my own. And I got a great following on that side over there.
Maybe. Well, there's like someone posted a photo. I was on the Twitter, on one of the tweets when they came out with this breaking news. It was a picture of Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp like hugging each other a couple months ago. And like everyone said Stephen A. Smith was recruiting him. He was getting Sharp in the portal that day.
Oh, well. And maybe Stephen A. was like, look, I told you so. I told you it was going to happen. Didn't I tell you what it was?
Because Sharp used to be a guest host for First Take back in the day when Skip and Stephen A. were on that together. So, I mean, he does have a pre-relationship with Stephen A. A lot of those guys do with Stephen A. They all know him and stuff. Yeah. I thought it would be interesting, You know, you have J.J. Redick, who's doing the NBA thing. He's got his podcast on ESPN, or it's not on ESPN, but he's got a successful podcast. Sharp also has a successful podcast called Shay Shay. So you got two guys who are former NBA player, former NFL player. You literally just put them, let them have a show together. Two eloquent guys, very knowledgeable and know, obviously, played in the sports for such a long time. And they can, very eloquent guys, they can easily have a show together. And I think that would probably dominate most of these debate shows, because you actually have two guys who, at least they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, man, I like J.J. Redick a lot. You know, he does a really good job. Duke guy. So, you know, been a fan of J.J. Redick for a long time. But he does really good work. You know, like Shannon, he does a lot of work too. Mm-hmm. Really good, really, he's really funny, keep you engaged a lot. So I heard he's had this thing with, what's the name of it?
Kwame Brown?
Yeah. Kwame Brown now all of a sudden. So it's been kind of funny just to kind of watch that, man. But I've been, like I told you a little bit before this, man, I've been dealing with, you know, family things, and, you know, that God has been good. Let me put that. God has been absolutely good in our lives, dealing with these things. And, you know, for the people that's asked about Chad, and, you know, Chad is doing well. Yep. And so, you know, he's getting stronger. Praise God. But also too, man, like I said, these things that we see coming in life, like when you see these things talking about Shannon Sharp and all these things that out here fighting and such, this thing just, it's wild to me. It's just wild how these things just happen. Like this, you know, Shannon Sharp, here he is. All of a sudden he's getting out his contract with Skip. So, hey, I don't know. Maybe a good move. What do you think?
I mean, it obviously depends. I mean, I think that it's a weird time for this buyout to happen. I'm sure with these big networks, I'm sure they've been talking about it for a long time. But I think the heat of this whole thing, remember that weird conversation with him about Brady? And when he said, oh, I think, you know, Tom Brady was better than you at your position. You know, he was better than you in your sport. And that was where there was that weird tiff they had. And they had the Hamlin thing that happened a couple months after that, where, you know, Shannon called him out for, you know, saying what he said on Twitter. That was where it was rocky. The last few months, it seems like they probably talked behind the scenes, and they've been, you know, they were cordial, at least on set and when, you know, in films after the whole Hamlin stuff. So, like, I don't know, but I could see him going to it. And I think ESPN, it seems like ESPN is trying to gobble up all the talent all over the place. They just spent a lucrative deal on Pat McAfee, getting Pat McAfee show and going to put on their airwaves. So, like, are they going to get another a talent from Fox, FS1, a very popular guy on social media and everything that Shannon does, bring him over? I could see ESPN doing that. And Stephen A. doesn't have a other debate partner. He hasn't had one since Max Kellerman left the show. So maybe maybe Shannon Sharp could fill that void. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Shoot, ESPN, like, at what point do you get too many, right? Too many guys. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you can't watch all of them. I mean, I know you would like to.
Yeah.
Maybe guys like keep it in ESPN all day and let it roll and whatnot. So, yeah, but it wherever Shannon goes, man, he's going to be successful. He's going to do a good job wherever he goes, whoever gets him.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, he probably just was like, look, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. You know, it's time to make some moves, make some changes. So be it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. It's almost like that's a new free agent out, right? That's a new free agent out like that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, where's Shannon going to go next, right?
Well, it's funny. My brother, I think he tweeted, I retweeted it from the Chief Concerns account. I think he tweeted something like, if this was wrestling, Skip would bring on Kwame Brown to be his co-host.
Yeah. Like NWO, and, you know.
Exactly. His Shannon Sharp over there with the chair. Oh, my God, what the heck's he doing here? What's Kwame Brown doing here?
Oh, my God, Kwame Brown coming off the top rope. Coming out of the crowd, he's running down.
Yeah. Do you remember? It was WCW late '90s when DDP had Dennis Rodman or Karl Malone as his tag partner, and NWO had Rodman.
Yeah, I remember that. That's when it started getting like a little bit like gimmicky. Like, oh, okay, like, listen, look, we know neither one of them jokers is gonna be out there really wrestling. Okay, all right, so. Carl won't do nothing, and Dennis is just scary, and he's just strange. And just, it was wild. That was wild.
Yeah, that was probably like the peak of wrestling, and after that, kind of like dropped big time as far as the Monday Night Wars, WCW and WWF. But I remember WWF at the same time to compete with what they were doing on WCW with the NBA players. I think they had Mike Tyson with the Generation X on WWF around that time.
Really? See, I didn't. I don't know. At the moment it started, I was like, all right, man, I'm kind of tuned out of that stuff.
Yeah, you grew up and you were up for like the real, like the best of the best of wrestling. Once it got to like late 90s, that's when it kind of started to go a little like.
Sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. I was, when I'm talking about the era, WWF, I'm talking about, I'm talking about the time when, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage was doing the local stuff here in Lexington, Kentucky, you know, wow. So he's from around this area, you know, him and Leaping Lanny Poppo. Right, who was the genius? It was his brother, mm-hmm. And so we're talking about, man, Coco Beware. We're talking about the Junkyard Dog. We're talking about the British Bulldogs. We're talking about Legion of Doom. We're talking about
the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, man. I mean, man, I'm talking about the whole Jimmy Hart, all those Bobby Heenan. That's the era of wrestling that I watched. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Sergeant, you know. Was it Sergeant Slaughter? Iron Sheik?
Yeah.
You know? So Nikolai
Volkoff, Iron Sheik's tag partner.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Funny. That was good wrestling back then. That was good wrestling. So
My brothers, because all my brothers are around your age and stuff. I remember growing up, they had like remember the rubber dolls, the LJN figures with all those guys from that era.
They could pull them apart. You talking about that or
not those? They had those two. It was the ones where like the figurines were like set in the position. Like I think Jimmy Snuka's was like he was like this pretty much. You couldn't really. They were rubber, but they were like big like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, that is like the prime of wrestling, and you were lucky you got to witness that in the.
Yeah, man, I you know, I was it was funny because when I was in Philly, some of us went to you know, of course, they, you know, bring wrestling up. This is when The Rock started. I remember Rock coming into the at the locker room with us, you know, even before he got famous with that. I was just, you know, I was like, who's this guy? And so our strength coach was really good friends with him. He was like, oh, yeah, man, this guy's, you know, Dwayne Johnson. His name is The Rock. And I'm like, okay, yeah, nice to meet you. And, you know, was cool then. And then watching him blow up was like, oh, wow. Like, that's this guy. Yeah. it was crazy.
That's crazy.
Animal, too. See, I was going back. I know we'd be talking about football, man, but I'm talking about this is some good stuff. So I met, was it? Oh, can't think. Maybe Animal.
Wait, George the Animal Steel? Or?
Yeah, no, not George the Animal Steel. It was Animal from, wasn't Legion of Doom at the time? Road Warriors.
Oh, right.
See them on the elevator. Talking to him and, you know, had a really good conversation. I'm like, man, I'm a fan of yours, man. He's like, oh, for real? He's like, yeah, he was cool, real cool. And I knew, I tell you who else. I was friends with King Kong Bundy. Friends with King Kong Bundy, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Our boy Stu. Stu knew him. He was from New Jersey. Him and Stu, he would come into Stu's restaurant all the time. And that was King Kong Bundy, man. We eating pictures. He came to the crib. Yeah.
That's awesome. King Kong,
good people. God rest his soul.
Remember his a big deal in the Northern Virginia area. There's a pizza place because back in the day, I guess wrestling was a hot spot in the DC area. King Kong Bundy's tag partner, Big John Studd, had gone to like this pizza place around here, and like I think it's the pizza place is called Angie's, and apparently a photo of Big John Studd at the eating pizza there is like he signed it and everything's on the wall. Kids my age, younger than that, don't even know who Big John Studd is, but like, yeah, you exactly know who that is.
Absolutely, man. Awesome. Great era. Great era. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
So what's happening, man, in the Chiefs kingdom? What's going on the end of the Chiefs, their world right now? What's the good talk?
We're gonna tackle our guy, DeAndre Hopkins, the update that everyone's talking about. And the tackle situation has been something that's been kind of a big topic with OTAs based on Andy Reid's comments. And then obviously this isn't a topic tonight, but have you gotten a chance to see the Justin Ross catch at OTAs today? Everyone's the Chiefs Twitter accounts doing this purposely. They know what the fans want to see, and that they're like playing right into the hype machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is a talented guy, but go ahead.
He caught a bomb, but like he was running full speed with it. So I think this is like the first time we've seen like a video of him like running full speed and like catching like a bomb from Mahomes. Okay. So that's like a new like added touch to it. So it's not just like a normal like routes on air slant. He was running a bomb. I think Nazi Johnson, our guy, was covering him on the play too. So so that's the big hoopla right now. The OTA's OTA video clips from today. So we're gonna get into our first topic tonight. So big topic this offseason, tackles. Orlando Brown Jr. being gone, obviously, you know, having Juwan Taylor, the big signing coming in. Andy Reid had confirmed to us that Juwan Taylor has had a few practices at left tackle, which is something some people may have thought would be a thing, that, you know, he'd be getting some reps there, and Lucas Niang had been getting reps at right tackle. So in the pictures that came out today, Juwan Taylor is clearly at right tackle, but the fact that Andy Reid confirmed that they're playing musical chairs, which you said this was going to happen. You said there's going to be kind of everyone playing a little bit of everything. The quote was, so for a few practices, Juwan Taylor was at left tackle and Lucas Niang worked in the right tackle. I feel good about Niang too. So we're in a good place. I believe Taylor can do both. So I don't think that's a problem. And he got a few snaps at that. But listen, we've got two veteran guys, Donovan Smith and Juwan Taylor, that have a lot of snaps under their belt at a high level. So we feel comfortable with that. So we'll see. We expect the guys behind him to compete and we should be fine there.
Yeah.
So what is your take on that? Because there's a lot of, so obviously, Chiefs fans, they see that Juwan Taylor playing left tackle. It's like, oh man, Donovan Smith's already, he's not going to play left tackle. I mean, what was the point of the signing? But when you see that, what does this tell you about the tackle situation? Do you feel good about hearing this?
Yeah, it's no different from what I said earlier about, you know, what it's going to look like. And so we know Donovan Smith is the left tackle. Juwan Taylor is the right tackle. And I've said that, you know, obviously during camp and you know, OTAs, mini camps, probably getting some camps, he's going to get some reps at left tackle. And he should. You know, we discussed this. Because why? Because he's a very, very athletic tackle that we got here. There's a reason we got him. There's a reason we got him and signing for $80 million or $60 million or whatever it is that we got him for, a boatload of money. And so we want to see his versatility. And so we go see it. And he's going to try it out. So we don't want just one trick pony, him being on one side. We talked about him going, you know, to the left side also, just getting some reps. And the thing is, that's part of like the contingency plan, right? That's the thing. If, you know, we're sitting there saying, hey, Donovan Smith is here for this 1 year deal. He's gone after this 1 year. We may move Juwan Taylor over to left if that's the contingency plan. And so I don't think is that we need to look into it any more than what it is, right? Because, you know, we see minute, and he said, hey, Donovan Smith has a boatload of games under his belt, playing extremely well at left tackle. So he's the left tackle. Juwan's the right. Juwan's going to get some reps. Lucas Niang is getting some at right. And so it's all about, you know, you're looking at depth, and you're going to make sure if guys, something happened, right? You always got to have, you know, a plan in place if everything doesn't work out or somebody gets hurt. And so I think that, you know, this is just something that is practical that you should do. And so I think it's what it is.
And can you talk to us from a point of, you know, you playing in the NFL? So like OTAs, this is the time to do this kind of stuff, right? To get Juwan Taylor those reps at left tackle, because once training camp and, you know, preseason starts, you're going to want these guys to be playing the positions they're going to be playing during the season. Like OTA is kind of the spot to try out these type of things, right? These wrinkles.
Yeah, of course. I mean, during this time is what, like you said, you want to try it now where a guy can get those reps. We know Juwan has been cemented over there, played a ton of ball at right tackle. He has that down. He can play that eyes closed, probably one leg. He'll know the technique and what he needs to do, right? The same is, okay, well, look, let him get him something that he hasn't done a lot of, okay? And that is left tackle. So now let's work him in. Let's let him get a little bit of this where he's comfortable if he needs to be in a situation that he may have to move over, right? And so, like I said, if something happened to Donovan and, you know, we need to move Juwan over to left tackle, shoot. Hey, he has reps. He's getting that. He's getting all that experience right now. And so this is the best time to learn it. No doubt about it. OTAs, mini camps is a time that guys learn certain positions. Like we just talked about Jerry Ealy, right? He moved from right running back to wide receiver. And the thing is, you start doing that when you get into, you know, training camp and all those different things. You don't want to do it in midseason. It'd be too late at that moment. So, you know, go ahead and do those things right now. That's the best time to do it.
Yeah, well, that was a story he told, right, where he running back, and then all of a sudden they're like, we actually want you have a receiver once they got a training camp. Like, okay.
Yeah, but hey, look, but also too, that's I always go back to this. The more you can do, the better off you're going to be. And so what this is doing is giving the Chiefs an advantage on the offensive line because now you have athletic guys that can do multiple positions, right? Right tackle, go to left tackle, okay? Hey, we know guys over here that played right guard. He might get him some reps on left guard, okay? So you have those swing guys that can come in and do those things. And so, yeah, man, it just makes sense. It just makes sense to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. So when you hear this, you don't see like, oh, man, Thomas Smith doesn't look good at left tackle. Juwan Taylor's getting reps now. You don't hear that at all, right? Because that's what a lot of Chief fans are thinking.
No, we just heard Andy just talk about it. Both these guys got a boatload of experience under their belt, right? So yeah. They both very proficient in what they do. Mm. So not at all. I didn't take it as that whatsoever. Sure, what he's doing is he's just talking about what he sees in practice, mm-hmm. right? We can't look at everything like, oh man, what does he mean by that? Oh, is Juwan going over the left? No, it don't have to necessarily mean that. Just saying like, hey, we're going to get him some reps over the left. What we talked about before when he brought him in. And so, hey, now we got a left tackle here, Donovan Smith. Didn't know he was going to get him. Was looking for a guy in the draft. Didn't get the guy in the draft. Donovan Smith, fell into our lap. He's our left tackle. Juwan, he's going to get some left tackle too. This is what we promised. We said he can do that. When we talked about when we signed him coming from Tampa, Jacksonville, we said that's what he can do. Donovan played in Tampa, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But they would say, Juwan, he can do that. Okay, so that was good. You're getting the value and money from versatility. Yep. So,
and you're also seeing what you got in Lucas Niang as a potential backup at the tackle spot.
Right. Well, yeah, you got to make sure he's healthy, right? Just get him some reps. See if he's healthy. Get him some reps. So
that's the smart thing to do, yeah. I know we've talked ad nauseum about the tackle situation, but I had to bring you on into this conversation because there's too many people who are just like jumping off the deep end when they heard that Juwan Taylor was getting reps at left tackle. I just looked at when I think it was Charles Goldman, he posted an article about this, and I just saw the comments on there. People just like, doing what they do, you know, and I get it. You know, everyone's scared about protecting Patrick Mahomes. Everyone's very, you know, they know that's the end game is to protect him. So whoever it is, but they jump to conclusions as thinking Donovan Smith isn't getting the job done already, and that's why Juwan Taylor is playing left tackle.
Man, it's so early. It's too early for all of that. Well, you know, you can speculate all you want to. We'll know opening day who was the left tackle. Okay. Going into camp, we know that Donovan Smith is penciled in at the left tackle. Yep. And so anything happens in between then and whatnot, then so be it. Mm. But it's not really news. Ain't no big deal. Like I said, Big Red is just he's just commenting on what he sees, man, and he's giving guys some reps over here.
Yeah. So and like you said, this is the time to do that.
It's the best time to do it right now.
Mm. Yeah. No, I agree. I knew you're gonna provide some, you know. Give everyone to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know everybody was up in arms. Well,
not a lot of people, but I saw a good amount of Chiefs Twitter talking about how Donovan Smith was already a bus pickup because of this. So,
well, they say a lot, right? There's going to be a lot of they. There's going to be a whole lot of different things.
So. Exactly. Okay, this brings us to our next topic, our weekly DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes update.
D-Hop is an elite guy.
You and I, we want to go with DeAndre Hopkins right away.
It makes sense to go get D-Hop.
We lost Juju. We lost Harvey. Those are veteran guys.
Yeah.
Bring him in. D-Hop. The Kansas City Chiefs are on the clock. They trade their fourth round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. Could you imagine the pandemonium going on in there?
Oh, D-Hop. That's who I would want. Shoot. I'm like, hey, D-Hop. before you even name anybody else, D-Hop.
Now, I think as of yesterday, DeAndre Hopkins is officially a free agent, and there are some developing stories on this, but this is kind of going back to the same old, Buffalo, Kansas City. So according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs have emerged as the front runners in the pursuit of star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Both teams are, quote, in an arms race for to secure the services of the talented receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. But the issue for both teams, as we speculated, is cap space. Buffalo has around $1.5 million in cap space. Chiefs have just under $1 million in cap space. Both are the bottom two in the league as far as money to pay DeAndre. But Chiefs and Buffalo, I'm sure they can play, you know, salary cap gymnastics and get DeAndre Hopkins on board. But both teams were the only two teams that were really in talks with Arizona before the draft to try to get DeAndre Hopkins. And this is a report that came out from Albert Breer. This is really interesting. This broke yesterday. Chiefs were making progress with DeAndre Hopkins on a contract negotiation. But once the Ravens paid OBJ about $15 million guaranteed on that one-year deal, that's when everything kind of imploded with Hopkins. So with this new news coming out that we were actually, when around the time we started this whole DeAndre Hopkins update, we were actually in play for DeAndre Hopkins, but Buffalo threw a little grenade in there and exploded that, Baltimore did. What do you make of this, the fact that we were the team that had actually contractual talks with him before that OBJ contract came down?
That's what we're talking about. We're saying that all off season that, you know, the Chiefs are the one that was going to be talking to DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, without saying, was going on different shows, was the kind of giving a head nod to the Chiefs a lot, like, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes, or I don't want to, you know, when he did the whole shake the head, don't say anything, that type of deal, gestures. So I think he always preferred going to Kansas City. I really do. And then, of course, this last time he got on, he was talking about Josh Allen. Oh, I'd love to play with a great quarterback. And so, you know, you already know you got Stephon Diggs, you got Gabriel Davis, and he could be that guy. But I'm joking. When last time he won a Super Bowl?
Has Buffalo ever won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I was
Well, I was trying to think. Obviously, early '90s they had the three straight where they lost, but
right. But last time I ever checked, Josh Allen and them hadn't won a ring. Yeah. They haven't won the AFC Championship. Them suckers ain't won. They win a lot of games during the season. Okay, they do. Okay, and everybody can cry about all the other things. They, you know, oh my gosh, things went fair and stuff like it got beat. No matter where it was, so you know you could make these things up, you can say whatever you want to say, but this is not shocking that the Chiefs were the front runners in trying to get in DeAndre Hopkins. To me, it just made sense. It really did. Especially when you lose out on Juju, okay? And you still needed a number one wide receiver. And at the time, you know, we were kind of like, we were deplete in receivers. We weren't. We had MVS, we had Sky Moore. You know, we hadn't had Rashid Rice yet because, you know, obviously in the draft. So we didn't quite know we was going to get through these young guys, okay? Now, we had Kadarius Toney, okay? But there was a question. It was always a legitimate question about him being hurt sometimes. And so it was like, can he make it through the season to be a number one? Yeah, hopefully we want him to. Shoot, we love what he can do on the field. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And so this is not cutting at him by saying that. But, you know, the thing is, when you start looking at his history – you know, he has had injury. Looking at DeAndre Hopkins, to me, was the significant thing. That's what you should have done as a Chiefs. So it's not a big deal. I think it's what we, like I said before, we talked about this all season. So.
Yeah, the one thing, with the DeAndre Hopkins stuff, obviously, if we're a team that's really interested in him and everyone's talking about us being interested in him, forget about the contract situation, because in order for that to happen, we need to kind of create some, you know, some money out of that. And obviously Jones thing is going to happen. The Chris Jones thing has to happen regardless of DeAndre Hopkins. So that's going to have to happen.
So let me say this. Absolutely. The Chris Jones thing has to happen. Okay, we're looking for that to happen with Chris. We understand we need to get him a long-term deal, no doubt about it. There are still ways to make things happen, to move money around, to get DeAndre Hopkins here. the whole thing with OBJ. OBJ is going to the Ravens, but they're not going to win a championship. They're not. He's getting the money. He's getting the bag. Okay, he just got a ring when he was in with the Rams. So to him, it was all about the money. It ain't about him chasing another ring. He already got that. So that's why he waited out. The Ravens was able to sign that check. I think DeAndre, because he doesn't have that ring, I think it's the most important thing for him to do is to get a ring right now. You know, to be on a championship team. You know, going from Houston, going to the Cardinals, to him, he's like, look, I'm at the tail end of my career. This has to happen right now. What's going to give me the better shot to win a ring and maybe even put some money in my pocket, right? And let's say he comes to Kansas City, wins a ring right now. That still puts him on the market for like another 2 or 3 years. Teams would still love to have a DeAndre Hopkins. Look, I've said this before. DeAndre Hopkins at 75% is better than a lot of teams, a lot of wide receivers, 100%. Okay? Let's just be honest here. And I'm talking about guys that's making a ton of money out here. Okay? So let's just be honest. So we could talk about the contract, which is it's a huge thing. It's the money thing is a huge deal on it. But I don't think to him that's the thing that's driving him fully in this thing right now, okay? Because we talked about, you know, Kansas City and the Bills being the two main guys talking about these guys, and we know what the cap space are. But he wants to go to a place that wants to win. He wants to be a winner. Like I said, that will cement his legacy. He's going into Canton. We know that. Him having a ring just gives him that extra oomph, right? It just puts something on him. But like, you know, now I'm draped with this ring too. I can just show my ring out. I'm good. So that'd be perfect. Kansas City for the spot for him to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So one thing that came out, I think yesterday or today, I don't know if this is leaks happen, right? It was an unnamed, multiple unnamed NFL sources. Guys in the league have come out and said that DeAndre Hopkins is slow, can't get off anymore, and just kind of, you know, he's not what he once was. And they're saying that there wasn't that much interest around the league outside of the two main guys and the Bills and the Chiefs. When a report like that comes out, is that like, I mean, could that be one of the teams who's interested in him trying to put that out there to try to like get him to bring his price down? If that's what I mean,
no. I don't know. Who's saying this? Is this supposed to be like organization saying this? Is this players saying this? Who are these? See, when we have all of these anonymous sources and, you know, coming out and not putting put your name behind it. If you feel that strong about DeAndre Hopkins, put your name behind it. Matter of fact, I guarantee, look, I'll take, like I said before, DeAndre Hopkins, 75% is a lot better than a whole lot of wide receivers, 100% out here. All right? I'm telling you right now. So, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe not getting out the jam. If he is slow and stuff like that, he's still going to be a top 22, 25 receiver.
Yeah.
In the league. Hey, tell me, you can tell me he's not. And I tell you what, we've seen his numbers, what he got last year. Okay. In 9 games, was it Marcus? Was it 9 games? How many games did he play?
It was not 9 games.
9 games? How many receptions he had? I had it down here.
I remember he had like 750 yards receiving, which had been second on our team.
And like 79 catches, something like that. So they missed me with that one. I don't want to hear nobody say nothing like that when a guy's catching 79 balls with
64 for 717.
64 for how much?
717.
717 in 9 games? Come on, man. Games. Let's for real. That cut it out. When people say stuff like that, man, that's just ridiculous to me.
The quote was, NFL exec says DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have much left. He can't run anymore.
Well, he probably went in the running anyway. He's probably just saying that because he, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is like, nah, I'm not coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then he's going, well, what does he do? Then he goes talk noise on him. It's almost like, sometimes you hear dudes or people in relationships, right? It's like when somebody gets turned down, all of a sudden they talk about the person. Oh, God, her breath stinks. So, yeah, she wasn't cute anyway to begin with. What was you trying to cover her for? Why was you sitting up there trying to holler at her? Like, I seen the whole night trying to holler at her. You know, you was buying her drinks. You was, threw your whole game out there, right?
Yeah, doing she ain't all that.
She ain't all that. Cut you straight to the meat. And you sit over there. hating on her because she didn't choose you.
I'll be honest. I've been guilty of that, JD.
Have you? Oh, well. Have you?
I mean, she's not that hot anyway. I mean, whatever.
Oh, man. But tell me where that place came from. It came from hurt feelings, right?
Oh, like, yeah, 100%.
It's not hurt. Yeah.
100%.
So, yeah, right. So that's what that is. Yeah, but I don't think I ever hated on, like, oh, man, she ain't nothing and all that. No. You know, you got to do that, man. It's just, hey, it is what it is. You lose out, so be it, right? Hey, you know what? Tonight is not my night. Or at least, you know, I didn't get to holler at her. She didn't go for my full game. Okay, well, my mouth wasn't working
that. You usually that's more the defense mechanism when you're coming back to your boys after trying to, like, you know, at a bar or a club, trying to go talk to a girl, and, like, you get denied. You come back, like, the tail between your legs, and boy, like, what happened with that? It's like, ah, nah, you know, she had a boyfriend or something like that.
Yeah, man, you know, she tripping. I don't know, man. I went over there, she was cross-eyed for real, you know. So, you know, she had a floating eye on and stuff. I don't know, you know. Yeah, that's hating. That's hating because, you know, just wasn't with it. So maybe DeAndre Hopson, he wasn't with it. He wasn't taking the bait with his executive who wanted him so bad. He called up his agent. His agent's like, nah, he's not going there. I'm sorry. So, you know, now he probably, those people, he probably said, well, look, we need $20-something million, right? Oh, no way. We're not going to get, well, look, then don't even expect him coming because you're not winning anyway. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that was interesting. So at the same time as this whole Hopkins thing is kind of like perking up, you have this Mahomes quote about having a deep wide receiver room. So that's what I want to ask you. So we've talked about coach speak, GM speak.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, is there something to a quarterback coming out and saying, oh, I think we have a really deep wide receiver room? Like, when a quarterback says that, does that mean, like, hey, like, look, the guys in the room I have, I'm comfortable with it, and that's fine. Like, we don't – is it more like I don't need another receiver or, like, man – because if I'm Hopkins and I hear Mahomes saying, oh, I love my wide receivers, we have one of the best in the league, that's the deepest room in the league, it's like, okay, well, you don't need me then, right? I mean, I don't know. When you hear Mahomes kind of praise wide receiver room and how deep it is, what does that tell you? And do you think that would deter Hopkins or would that deter Mahomes from wanting Hopkins?
No, you know, and he does. Patrick's supposed to talk about the guys that's in the room, the guys that's on the team. You know, he didn't have DeAndre Hopkins here. He's not loyal to him and no frame or form. So he needs to talk about the guys that he's throwing the ball to. And he does have a deep room. He does with a lot of young guys, a lot of talent. There's no doubt about it. So, no, I agree with Patrick. He does have a deep room. There's a lot of guys that can go catch the football, who can make plays, who can make guys miss. So he's been throwing to these guys during all season. So he's learned a lot about the guys that's in the room. So, yeah, he's supposed to give them high praise. That's what he's supposed to do as a leader, as a quarterback of the team. He's supposed to talk about the guy that's in the organization that's in the room and he's throwing the ball to. So hats off to Patrick Mahomes for doing that. You know, he's supposed to stand up for his guys. So there's nothing wrong with that. DeAndre Hopkins knows there's 32 teams out there. There's 32 teams that need him. That's how he looks at it. He's like, I get it. I get you got a deep room. You know what's going to make it even deeper? Get me out there. That's what's going to make it even better. And so he knows that at that moment, he levels up the entire team. He levels it up. He levels the entire team up. So you can't never have enough talent. You just can't. You can't never have enough talent. I know we talk about ESPN, like, well, teams go and watch them and stuff like that. Shoot. Hey, teams are always trying to re-up. Teams are always trying to get better. You know, we seen Philly. That's all they kept doing is reeing up, trying to get guys there, trying to recruit, because you're trying to put yourself in the best situation to win a championship, because these things don't happen often. It's so hard to win a Super Bowl. And so the thing is, keep giving yourself an opportunity. But look, Patrick's going to play with the guys he's got in the room and he's throwing to, because those guys are very talented. Like I said before, those guys in the room are not just guys. They're not chopped liver. We got some first rounders, second rounders are very good. We got some guys that was, you know, top first round picks that are very good. And so he's right. He's right. 100%.
And I think it's in a similar light, you know, it's the way we talk about it. Like, we love DeAndre Hopkins, but we'd be okay if we didn't sign here. We love him, but right. we like the guys we have in the room already. It would just give us that another piece, another weapon to play with.
Another piece, another excitement, that another toy, you know, for Patrick Mahomes and you know, for Andy Reid. So that would be phenomenal to have him here. But if we don't have him, then, hey, man, the best of luck, okay?
As a player who played in the league as long as you did, and we've talked about before, like, you know, last year with the edge rushers, how, you know, you were like, just wait till about training camp. That's when you might see one of these guys sign. Now that he's a free agent, because I guess, and this is something, too, that was an edge rusher, right? They have one job, really. I mean, obviously, there's different defenses and schemes, but you kind of have one job. It's go get the quarterback. Receiver, how long could you see Hopkins dragging this recruitment out? And as a receiver, as a skill player, learning an offense like the one we have in Kansas City, how long should he hold this thing out and kind of and wait on this?
I don't know. I don't think it's really too much of a time frame there. I think if you get him signed before, you know, training camp starts is more ideal, what you want to be able to do. But it's not going to be a problem for him to come in and learn the system at all. And so DeAndre Hopkins has been playing for a long time. Once you get the terminology down, you're just going to let him go out there and play ball. And I think in this matter of fact, his athletic ability suits him. This offense suits what he could do really well. And so I think that's one of the great things about it is, shoot, Patrick can throw the ball up to him. He can. He can go up there and go get it. He can go up there and catch it between two or three different guys. I mean, I'm talking about, we seen it, just snatching the ball out of the air. He can do some things athletically really, really well. Just superb, you know, than most guys in the league. So that's not going to be an issue and a problem because you do have a lot of the freedoms, you know, to run routes and get open. So I think that would never be a problem. You got to get a guy like that here before training camp, just so we can get used to everybody. That's it, and the timing. So,
whether it's the Chiefs or not, how long do you see this whole, you know, recruitment of DeAndre Hopkins lasting?
You know, we talked about we get into June, and so now, yeah, I mean, shoot, it could be, you know, 3 weeks, you know, a month, you know, maybe he's getting there, you know, just to get all the bells and whistles. Like, you just got to get, like, acclimated to, like, where you're going in the building, you know, the whole staff, administration, like, all those different things. And so that had probably happened, you know, sometime this month. And so, you know, he different arrangements, all those different things had to go into. I'm thinking with the next few weeks, because now you probably still have, like, another mini camp. I haven't looked at the Chiefs schedule. Mini camps as far as like before training camp, at least, right?
Yeah. Chiefs mini camp schedule. Let me look here. So we have
OTAs, mini camp.
Yeah. So we got off season.
I know you got at least one toward the end of June, like mid June, 19th and 20th, I think, right?
Yeah. So we got this, the 30th of June 1st, then we have June 6th to June 9th. And yeah, mandatory mini camp will be held from June 13th to June 15th. So that's the next 2 weeks then.
Yeah. So, you know, a guy like that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, he's in shape. You don't have to worry about him being in shape. You know, he's a professional. I don't think you have to worry about any of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So you say probably that within 2 to 4 weeks? Is when this will be hammered away.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we'll see. And there's probably going to be more, and there will probably be more updates by the time we meet again next week on this whole thing. More reports. Because I thought that was crazy when I read. I didn't think it was crazy because you and I obviously talked about it ad nauseum. But the fact that we literally had, because we even texted about this, we had a deal done with him, pretty much worked on, and then OBJ. When you and I talked about the OBJ kind of throwing that grenade in the plans, and it did. It threw a wrench and everything, because I mean he got his money from Baltimore. I mean, he got paid big time.
Yeah. Man. he lucked out. Somebody signed him for that. He got Ravens got him. So So I think a lot of it had to do with Lamar too. Like he, you know, that was a thing. And they knew Lamar before he would have signed, like I got to get somebody else here.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. You know, I know what y'all trying to throw to me. I know what y'all trying to do. But I need some other guys to throw to besides Andrew.
Yeah. So. And Bateman, yeah.
Bateman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and the funny thing is, had they waited to do this, I mean, obviously they wanted to get this whole Lamar thing done, but if Hopkins was a free agent at that point, they would have gone Hopkins probably instead of OBJ, I think, just based on a guy who's been playing, you know, like.
Yeah. That would have been a good city for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now they say it's Buffalo and Kansas City. People are just trying to throw other teams in there, Detroit, Cleveland, or other teams, the Watson connection in Cleveland. And I think tomorrow with the June 1st cuts, Cleveland's going to actually have a lot of money. So we may start to hear a little Cleveland rumors go up a little bit.
Well, it'll be a reunion, but they, them jokers ain't nowhere near winning the championship. They just not. But hey, shoot. Hey, him and Amari.
That'd be kind of nasty. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd have a good – that's also another thing, too. It's like there's – all the other teams have solidified wide receiver ones. And I know everyone's saying Tony's can be that for us, but, like, injury is a concern. But Hopkins comes to Kansas City, he would be instantly the wide receiver one. There would be no other, like, timeshare. Obviously, Kelce is the real one, but, like, wide receiver one, he would be it, bar none.
Yeah. Sure. I tell you what, man, Pat can make anybody number one.
That's true.
The ball everywhere. And everybody keep talking. We talk about this. We know Travis is the number one receiver here in Kansas City.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's the one that's going to catch the most balls. But yeah, definitely. If DeAndre came here, that it would be a clear number one. Number one.
Yeah. So we'll keep our tabs on that as we head to next week. So final topic tonight, wanted to ask you this. One of the most underrated signings for us this offseason was probably Drew Tranquil, the linebacker from the Los Angeles Chargers. I always say San Diego Chargers. But he made some noise this recently on what was the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Tranquil said that GM Brett Veach and head coach Andy Reid stopped well short of defining a role for him in Kansas City. Quote, Brett Veach and Andy Reid's message was, Drew, there's no promises here. We love you as a player. We love what you're able to do. You're super versatile. You're a total linebacker and can do it all. But we've got a lot of great players here, and you're going to have to come in here and earn your way. Drew, last week when we started the OTAs, he was and kind of advancing him to learn the defense. They were making him the green dot linebacker, so he had to kind of call the plays last week. So I guess that's their learning, getting him to learn the defense a little bit. But obviously, to anyone who follows the Chiefs, they know we have Bolton, Willie Gay, and now we got Tranquil and Leo Chenault, too, the second-year linebacker. So pretty jam-packed at the middle linebacker spot. But what I want to ask you is, when you hear this story and knowing his situation, you know, like San Diego offered, Los Angeles offered him a good deal, big money. He said no. They ended up going to get, I think Eric Kendricks to be their linebacker. And he ended up, you know, kind of sitting down the market, not getting that big interest. He ends up signing the 1 year, $3 million deal that could be worth up to $5 million. And he hears that from Brett Veach and Andy Reid. What, I mean, I don't know, for a layman like me, JD, when I hear that a team really didn't seem like that, like eager, and I'm also not paying you big bucks too. Why did Drew Tranquil sign with the Kansas City Chiefs knowing we have a full linebacker room like that? And also, like, it doesn't seem like they're that eager to kind of define a role for him.
For one, I think it's the organization. Two is, you know, playing for Andy Reid. And we've been kicking their tail for the last few years Drew has been over there. So can't beat them, join them, right? We'll say that. But I think it's you know what it is. I think he sees that there's, you know, when you're discussing this with your agent, you kind of see who is up, you know, who might be available, who might be on the chopping block, who might be coming up as far as free agent wise, and so I think any of them is just what they're doing is they're having and putting in an environment for competition. I think it's what it is. I think It's a breeding ground now in Chiefs Kingdom for linebackers to be competitive, right? And so I've always said this, competition breeds excellence. It really does. And so we know this. We know one thing it does. It brings up, you know, performance, you know, high-level performance in guys when you have people that are challenging, when you have people that are competing. You know, we're talking about just psychologically, you know, physiologically, you get better. And so that's what the Chiefs are actually, they're trying to do. They're trying to put this out here and say, hey, look, we got these linebackers here. Drew, we can't give you a definite role. We love what you can do. We know you can play. We know you make plays out on the field. You got to show us. That's why we signed you to a one-year deal. If you're as good as we think you're going to be and what you showed in the past, hey, then guess what? This right here, you play to the top of performance, we're going to reward you with a contract, being here with the championship team. That's what it seems like to me. And so I think because we know that, you know, Willie Gay is, you know, up on, you know, free agent, you know what I mean? That's a possibility. But everybody gets better with that. Everybody gets better in the room. And so Bolton, you know, because people talked about Bolton and his, you know, what his performance was last year. And then we talked about maybe his weakness. I don't think it's as much of a weakness as other people keep talking about. It's covering, you know, receivers and tight ends all day. That's what he's not as good at is his coverage. Drew is very good at covering, you know, guys out the backfield, covering receivers and wide, you know, tight ends and such and so forth. So that's a strong suit, and he can blitz. So he has a lot to him. He has a very versatile bag of doing things, man. And so I think Andy them knows what they have in this guy. But they brought him in because they want him to compete.
Yeah. Now he does provide stuff that we don't really have in that linebacker room. I believe he plays safety in college. He's a kind of converted kind of safety linebacker tweener, which, you know, that's adds something a little different to what we have in the room. I guess when I heard that, it was like, 'cause I remember when we signed him, you and I were excited about the signing, but it was also like, but why? I mean, like, it's not really a big need for us, right? And then also you're hearing the coaching of each and Andy say, like, yeah, we got guys, but there's not really a role for you. It's like, huh, well, okay. Then why the hell did we sign you?
Well, the thing is, so, you know, we didn't re-sign Harris, okay? So we're talking about we needed some experience in a role, okay? We have Bolton, we have Gay, we got Chanel, all right? We got a young guy in Jack Cochran, okay, that is actually a pretty good linebacker. Kind of looked up. He was like one of the most underrated linebackers out there, came out a free agent. And he almost is like a, you know, Drew Tranquil, you know, kind of guy. Okay. He could do a lot of different things. So that's another thing. You're teaching young guy how to be. A young guy can learn a lot from him. Same body type and all those different things. And so Drew is going to be able to, like what I'm telling you, man, he's going to be able to just deliver the performance. Okay, and bring that level of the performance up in the entire room. That's what he's able to do. That's what Eddie them brought him in to do. And so Spags don't have a great job, man, having this guy in here. He really is. And so we talked about toys on offense. This is a toy on defense. This is a toy that the guy is an excellent linebacker. You're not just getting a guy in here. We're talking about, you know, a guy that had 100 tackles last year, somewhere around there, could do it all. And so that's, you know, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for to build this young defense up. You have solidified guys, especially in that second level, right? That linebacker level. And yeah, at times, maybe some games, the linebacker play could have been was so-so, possibly, right? Gay got hurt last year. He got hurt last year, was out. And so the thing is, hey, Harris came in and did a great job. Tremendous job. Hey, man, we got Drew Hill, Drew Tranquil here for $3 million.
Damn.
That's a hell of a deal. That's a hell of a deal. So, yeah, man, that's a great signing. But I know that's what Andy and them are thinking about is because all the young guys that you do have, you got a guy that's a proven veteran that can do all those different things, and it's just going to make everybody in that room better. It's going to make the entire linebacker core that much better, that much better. Which overall talks about the entire defense being that much better. Mm-hmm. Right? So.
When I hear the quote that Tranquil says from what Veach and Andy told them, is that like a common thing where coaches probably won't show their hand as far as like, yeah, we got a lot of guys. So you're gonna have to earn that. You're gonna have to earn a spot. It's not given to you. Is that like more or less like that's pretty much what the NFL these coaches and guys say to players when they sign you?
Well, sometimes it depends on what guy it is, right? Sometimes it's got to be the right guy to say that to. You know, if you say it to a guy who is, you know, that knows he's the stuff. He like Drew knows he knows who he is. Maybe don't work with those guys, but Drew is one that's hungry. He's been behind eight ball, like you said, man, for a number of years. He was being looked over at, say, you know, the Chargers for a while until he came in and started, and he did really well. And so, I think I read something he was talking about. Like, look, I've always been kind of the underdog, and when I come in, and it's all about competition, I win out. Right, mm-hmm. So any of them know that they know the history of Drew, and so hey man, Drew, guess what? When you come here, hey, we love what you can do. You got to compete. You got to compete and win. And so you come up here, you compete, you win. Guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna reward you probably with a new contract. That's how these things go. So him not signing in with the Chargers, having that contract, and then you know some people didn't. Want him, they didn't like him or whatever. It was like, okay, we can do without this guy. You know, the Chiefs was like, hey, come over here and find a home. Shoot, come and compete over here. Because if you come and compete, win a championship, because that's what we've been doing for these past few years, kicking y'all butt over here with the Chargers. We'll take you in, okay? Win a championship, rub it all in their face, and then get rewarded with a big contract. How about that? Mm-hmm. He's like, where I signed up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You're, when I heard this, I was like, you know, I really want to ask JD about this because this is like so interesting. And, you know, you're the best person to speak to about this kind of stuff. So, yeah. And also, too, I guess for me, like when a coach is like saying, yeah, you got to earn your spot, they're also not paying me a lot of money. So I could easily, if I'm not looking good during training camp, I could easily be on the chopping block. I mean, there's not that much investment there anyway. So it's like, you know, I mean,
But they know with a guy like this, okay, and this is what I'm talking about, his makeup, they're going to drive competition. They're going to bring out high performance out of productivity out of this guy because of that, okay, because they are saying, hey, you know what, you know, you got to compete. And so for a guy like that, the organization wins because they know a guy like that stays hungry. They know that's who he is. And so it's good. It's good to bring a guy in, man, and compete in those positions. Because you got great linebackers here already. You got great linebackers here. They ain't lying. Shoot. I mean, Bolden and Gay and Chanel, they know they're the great linebackers. So we're like, we ain't gotta blow smoke up your tail. We got good linebackers here. We know that. You're going to make us better, but I want you to compete. Where do you, if you play with these guys, okay, and this is what also, too, you got to realize is, you know, this is all for the future. Where do you fit in this thing? Okay. Do you play better with the fit with all these guys? Who what's going to be the combination here? Right. I think it's what the, you know, Chiefs are actually looking for. They're going to see the combination of linebackers they put in that's going to be more successful.
Yeah.
And so, shoot. When I heard Bolden talk about him, it just lit Bolden, that lit his light too. He's like, man, I love Drew Tranquil. I see what he does. He does a great job. It's just going to help us out. It's going to make us even better. Bolden is the man of the defense. We know that. Okay. He's the guy. All right. And if he's talking high on Drew, he knows what he can bring to the game. I know the linebacker core, man, them guys stick together, man. They push for each other. That is without a doubt the best way to get the most out of your players. Okay. Is healthy competition.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. It's going to just bring the best of everybody. Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for Chief Concerns this week, guys. But before we get out of here, I want to give two things. I want to give a shout out to JD's nephew, Chad. Pulling for you, brother. We know you're a strong son of a gun. So, yeah.
Toughest guy I know, too. Yeah, and it was a football player. I'm Chad. Woo! And I'm telling you, bad boy, man, he cut on a dime, one of the best running backs that I ever had a chance and the honor to block for. So yeah, definitely. And play safety will absolutely tear your jaw off. That's a fact. He has a couple of good videos. So we might have put one up with Chad. He hit some guys.
Yeah, you didn't send that to me. We'll definitely get that on the channel.
Yeah. He'd love to see that, man. He'll see this, man. He'll go crazy on this. Like, oh, shoot. Oh, sit that in there.
Yeah, I would love Chad. And also, JD, we know we're both sports fans here. NBA Finals is tomorrow. You got Denver Nuggets and Miami Heat. So I'm going to ask you, JD, who do you have in this series and how many games do you have this going?
Oh, man. I think it's going to go the whole seven. I do. It's going to be very exciting to see this. It's two very young, very good teams that can light it up. It's going to be competing, man. It's going to be good competition. So I just, man, look, and I was pulling for LeBron. I wanted them to make it. They didn't make it. I think they was wore out from the Warriors. Denver's real. They real, man. They real deal. But Jimmy Buckets, that joker, okay, he'll come through. He'll come through. Jimmy, my spot. This is my spot. We'll see. We'll see. I think when it all said and done, I think Denver might have a little bit too much. I think they got a lot for them. It's going to be very hard to stop them guys. No, but I do think it's going to go to 4-7.
Yeah, I'm going Denver. I'm going to go five games. I think Miami's got to lose his magic at some point here. I thought they were going to lose to Boston. The fact that they came, and I thought it was done after game six. I thought there was no chance Miami was going to come back after that heartbreaking loss in game six. And they beat Boston and dominated them in game seven. But yeah, I think the magic's going to run out with Denver. Denver's got too much. They're top to bottom. They can go eight guys, and they have that's the best eight in the league.
Them suckers, man. But I'm telling you, every little rally that the Lakers had was giving them, they was just putting it out. And I was just like, dad got it. Jokic, he was hitting everything. That sucker threw everything up and he was going in. I'm like, what's going on? This is like, no. And they've been on rest for a little while, so they had some time. So that's maybe true. They might be rusty the first few games. Hey, you know,
that's true. That it could work against them in that way.
Yeah, yeah. But them suckers start going, and Murray start getting out there.
Mm. Yeah.
Tough, man. Oh, yeah. UK.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed the NBA Finals. We hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and hopefully next time this week we'll have some DeAndre Hopkins news, and maybe we'll be finding out what jersey he's going to be wearing in Kansas City. Huh? he can't be wearing number 10. It's Pacheco's number, unless they work out a little friendly little deal where he gets that number 10. But that'll be a conversation for next week. we'll see you guys next week. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.